This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much, Jazakallah khair, for joining us. This episode 2 of our series, Back to Basics, The Essentials of Islam. In the series, inshallah, we will look to explain what it is, what is the essence of this religion of Islam, what are the fundamentals of Islam, what does it mean to be a Muslim, what is it that you should do, what is the purpose of life, how do you practice the most fundamental rituals of salah, of purification, in this series, inshallah, bi-ibnillah. This is episode 2. In episode 1, we spoke about the word Islam. So we said Islam is the second biggest religion on earth. Nearly 30% of the world's population, they testify that this is their way of life. And if we were to ask what is Islam, we said linguistically the name, the word Islam, it means to submit. And therefore, the Muslim is the one who submits. And this religion is a religion of submission. And we said furthermore that this is really the religion of all of creation, that everything in creation appears to follow a system, it follows an order, it follows a purpose, it follows a function. Everything in creation, all of nature, from the tiniest atoms to the biggest of galaxies, from the oldest of structures to the newest things that are forming, everything follows a perfect system within nature. Everything submits. And therefore, mankind, who has been blessed with free will, our place on this earth, our test, if you will, on this earth, is to see if we would submit along with the rest of creation, or if we would reject. We can choose to be a Muslim, a submitter, or to be a one who rejects this way of life. So this is what Islam means, and this is what the concept of Islam is. We said also, very interestingly, of all the great religions on earth, of all the major faiths on earth, this religion of Islam and this title of Muslim, Islam is the only religion where its scripture, its actual scripture, mentions the name Islam. You won't find the word Christian or Christianity in the Bible. You won't find Hindu. You won't find Buddhism within their scripture. Whereas this religion, the name Islam is given by the Creator Himself. And the title of Muslim, Allah says, I am the one who named you as Muslims, as those who submit. And that is something, you know, something we take great pride in as believers of this religion. Walhamdulillah. So we said this religion is about submission and submitting. The next logical question is, who is it that Muslims submit to? Who do you and I as a Muslim submit to? If a non-Muslim asks you, okay, so you submit, that is what your religion is, who are you submitting to? We will of course say we submit to God. So the next question is, who is the God of Islam? We call him Allah. Who is Allah? Why is he called Allah? What does it mean? Who is this Allah, the same God of the Bible? Is this the same God of the Hindus? The same creator of the Buddhists? Who is the God of Islam? What is the God of Islam? And who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Islam, if we look at the theology, the aqidah, the belief of Muslims, Islam is the concept of God is a very simple, easy concept to understand. It is, in fact, the simplest of all the religions in explaining who God is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers us back to the great reviver, father of monotheism, the reviver of bringing people back to the belief in one creator, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he speaks about monotheism. When you want to talk about monotheism or the belief in one creator and one God, when we want to understand the concept of who Allah is, if you were to ask who is Allah, then we go back to perhaps the most revered personality on earth, the man who more than 50% of the world admires as a man of guidance, whether it is the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, even the Hindus, some say Brahman refers to Ibrahim alayhi salam. This man that really explains the concept of God in a very simple, very easy to understand, understand way. So, little backstory, who is Ibrahim or Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam? Who was he? Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, lived many, many thousands of years ago, long before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi, long before Jesus Christ. And he was from a city called Ur in Iraq. He was the son of an idol maker. So his people, they believed and they worshipped idols. They would be ill, they would need something, and they would go to an idol and they would ask idols for assistance. And Ibrahim's father was the man who would make the idols. So what people would do is they would come to, you know, Ibrahim's dad, and they would say, Azar, his name was Azar, you know, I need an idol that looks like this, an idol that looks like that, because I have a certain problem. They would give the specifications. Azar would say, no problem. And therefore, he would then start working on making the idol. And then he would present the idol to this man, to the customer, and the customer would pay for the idol. And then the customer would start worshipping the idol, would devote sacrifices to the idol, would turn to the idol for assistance. So as a young child, Ibrahim alayhi salam could not understand this. How is it that that same idol that my dad made, who was just a stick or a stone yesterday, who was half made lying on the ground, a piece of lifeless wood, is now in the middle of town being worshipped. People are asking it for forgiveness. People are asking it for money, to cure an incurable disease. How is this possible? So it didn't make sense to him. Also, in his time, he found people worshipping planets in the heavenly bodies. He would find them worshipping the sun. And then he thought to himself, well, at night when the sun sets, who do I turn to? These people that pray to the sun, when the sun sets at night, then who do they worship? Then he saw people worshipping the moon. And then he saw, well, the moon gets bigger and it gets smaller. And then at the end of the month, it disappears completely for a few days. And then he comes back. Who do they worship when the moon disappears? So then he starts to think about creation, and he started to think about, who is God? Who is my creator? Who is my Lord? So Ibrahim explains very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us his story when Allah says, وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. So recite to them the news, the story of Ibrahim. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ. So when Ibrahim said to his father, وَقَوْمِهِ, and his people, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, what are you worshipping? What are these things that you are worshipping? قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ أَصْنَامًا فَنَظَلُّ لَهَا آقِفِينَ. They said, we are worshipping idols, and we are devoted in our worship to these idols. قَالَ, Ibrahim asked them, هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِذْ تَدْعُونَ. Do they hear you? Can the idols actually understand what you're saying when you ask them for help? Do they even hear what you are saying? Do they hear your dua? أَوْ يَنْفَعُنَكُمْ أَوْ يَدُرُّونَ. Or do they benefit you? Can these idols give you anything of benefit? Or can they harm you? قَالُوا بَلْ وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا كَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. They said, you know what? We found our fathers doing this, and that's why we are doing it. We're just following what our forefathers were doing. So Ibrahim said, قَالَ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْبُدُونَ. Ibrahim is asking them, have you really thought about, do you really consider, has it, you know, come across your mind to think, what am I worshipping? Have you really thought about this? أَنْتُمْ وَأَبَاؤُكُمْ الْأَقْدَمُونَ. Have you really, you and your fathers, forefathers, even took a minute to think, to stop and think clearly, what am I worshipping? Then Ibrahim says, indeed, all of these things you are worshipping are enemies to me. I reject everything that you worship, other than the only one who I worship is the Lord of the Alameen, Rabb al-Alameen, the Lord of all of creation, the one who has created everything. So now, we said, Ya Ibrahim, O Ibrahim, if you reject the worship of the idols, you don't want to worship our idols, you don't want to worship the sun, the moon, the stars, trees, stones, graves, if you are rejecting all of these things, then who is it that you are worshipping? So now Ibrahim explains who his God is. And this is our God. This is the God of all things. Ibrahim says, the one who I worship, الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ. I worship the one who created me, and it is he who guides me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. He is the one who feeds me, and he gives me drink. وَإِذَا مَرِدْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And when I become sick, he is the one that cures me. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُونِي. That he is the one who will cause me to die, ثُمَّ يُحِينَ. And then he will bring me back to life after my death. وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرْ لِي خَطِيئَاتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. And he is the one I hope, I aspire, will forgive me of my sins on the day of judgment when I come back to him. So this is Ibrahim's Lord. This is the one that Ibrahim says, I worship. I don't worship anyone else except this one. The one who made me, the one who feeds me, the one who gives me, that sends the rain, the one that brings the food, that when I'm ill, he's the one that can cure me. And ultimately, I know I'm going to die. He's the one I'm going back to. That one, whatever name you want to call him, that is my God. That is my Lord. And that is the one I submit to. So in Islam, we are required to worship as Ibrahim had worshipped, to follow the same methodology, to ask, Who is the one that made me? Ultimately, I know as a, by necessity, by my innate human, by essential knowledge, I know I must have come from somewhere. And ultimately, I'm going to die. I'm going to go somewhere. The one that made me and the one that is in control of the system. When I look at all of creation, there is a perfect system in place. Someone must have put that system in place. He, the one who made that, who made me, who controls everything, that one is my God. That is my Lord. So let's call him for now the Creator. We will talk about the name Allah. We'll explain what the term Allah means. Who is Allah? Why is he called Allah in the Islamic faith? But for now, most of creation, most of mankind, apart from a few, a segment of atheists, the vast majority of mankind acknowledges that ultimately there is one Creator. There is one who made all of existence, and he is in control of all of existence. That one is the one who we submit to as Muslims. He is the one who we submit to. And I think if you ask most of humanity, you know, leave the term Islam, leave the term Allah, we ask them, do you believe that there is an ultimate creator? Most of mankind will say yes. And you will ask them, do you believe that ultimately, life is all about submitting and worshipping and obeying that creator? They will say yes. And that really, in essence, is the beginning and the foundation of this religion of Islam. This is the foundation of Islam. And then, of course, we go further and beyond that to ask, how do I submit to this creator? What is it that he requires of me? Because surely, if there's a creator, and he made me, and he placed me here on this earth, and he wants me to submit to him, how do I submit to him? How do I live my life in a way which pleases him? And that, of course, is the detailed way of life of Islam, which we'll talk to, inshallah, as we go along in the series. Before we go into detail as to who Allah is, before we go into detail, what does Allah want from me, and how do I live a life which pleases Allah, which is in submission to Allah? We live in a time, in a very unique time, a strange time, in fact, where a certain segment of society, a very vocal segment of society, has moved towards the rejection of Allah, or the rejection of a divine being altogether, atheism. The rise of atheism is a new phenomenon. If you look at the history of humanity, atheism is really just a new trend that has come in terms of humanity. It's something which very few nations of the past, in fact, there is no nation in the past that you can really say that was purely atheistic. It is really a new phenomenon. And if you look at, for example, the history of atheism, the very first book of atheism in the English language is only about 200 years old. So this is a relatively new trend and new faith, if you will, but it is one that is becoming increasingly prominent. And you find many people who were born even into Muslim households, Christian households, beginning to question their faith. They're beginning to ask, how do I know that there is a greater being above this? You're asking me to submit to some supernatural power, some all-powerful being who created everything. Well, how do I even know he is there? Why should I spend my life praying to him, following his injunctions, staying away from what he has prohibited, if I don't even know he's there? Can you prove that he exists? So how do we know he's there? From an Islamic perspective, if you look at the Quran does not give much detail into proving the existence of Allah. It, in fact, the Quran begins, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, praise be to the Lord of all of creation. It already begins with the assumption that, you know, by necessity, mankind already believes that there's a creator. Mankind already knows I could not have come from nothing. There must be a greater being above this. So Islam spends a lot more time speaking about correcting the belief in which creator, in which God, and how to worship him and living your life, than actually explaining in depth in terms of proving his existence. But because this is something which is the time that we live in, we have to address, we ask, how can I prove that Allah exists? How can I prove that there is a God? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, Allah says, were they created without there being anything, or are they the creators? In Surah Tur, verse number 35, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, O mankind, do you come out of nothing? Did you come from nothing? Or are you the creators of all of this? Have you ever seen anything in the universe coming from nothing into existence? Have you ever seen a planet that was, you know, born out of complete nothingness? No. Have you seen a vacuum? A vacuum in, not a vacuum cleaner, a vacuum in science is something which has nothing inside it. Have you ever found a vacuum and you come look in that vacuum a few days later and inside it you find some atoms? No. Science will dictate that you know that we know empirically, we know with fact that from nothing, you cannot produce something new. That everything in existence had a beginning. There's a big bang. Everything that is alive was born to something before it. That there must be a cause, an originating cause to everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, this is the creation of Allah. Everything you see around you is an evidence that He's there, that this is my creation. So show me that which those whom you worship have created besides Allah. So show me, if you deny Allah's existence, Allah is, instead of us asking, prove to me that Allah exists, Allah turns the question around and says, well, if I didn't exist, then show me where did all of this come from? What explanation can you give me for the existence of the universe? A very, very simple thing. If you don't believe that there was an originating cause of all of creation, that there wasn't someone who made creation, then explain to me where all of this came from. Because you and I know with certainty that for something to be in existence, it must have come from somewhere. As the Bedouin, uneducated, illiterate Bedouin, when asked about how do you know Allah exists, he says, you know, when I'm in the desert and I see footprints in the desert, I know a camel or an animal walked here. How do I know? Because there are footprints. That's the evidence. So then when I look up at the stars, the moon, the sun, all of this, I know I didn't make it. My fathers didn't make it. No one else made it. So it must have come from something supreme, something above all of that. That's how I know He's there. If you come in the middle of the desert and you find huge structures, you know, palaces and, you know, fortresses being made, automatically you know there must have been some human race or some people that lived here and they built this. How do we know that they lived there? Because of the evidence of these things. So really, the fitra, the natural inclination of a person and his natural logical intellect should tell him everything I see in creation that I didn't make must have come from someone with knowledge, someone with expertise, someone with a deep intellect, with a purpose. He created this. In fact, the more we study, the sad reality is sometimes atheists are the most knowledgeable, educated people in our society. Rather, it should be these people that are the most devout worshippers of Allah. Because the more you study as a doctor, the deeper you go into biology, you will realize that there is purpose, that every cell in the body was designed perfectly. Even our advanced technology cannot replicate what our bodies are born with. When we look deep into space, we see that everything follows a unique pattern. We cannot replicate that. No matter how much we try, we cannot replicate that which is already there in nature. So this should already tell us that there is a designer, an architect, a creator to all of these things. So therefore Islam says by default, his natural inclination, which is called the fitrah, everyone is born with this yearning, with this sort of innate knowledge that there is a higher being which made me. And Islam mentions, the Prophet ﷺ says that every single child is born on the fitrah. There was a study that was done that if you ask children, their natural default response would be that there is a higher purpose, a higher creator. Without being indoctrinated by their parents, that naturally children incline to the belief that there is a God or a creator. Of course, there are certain complicated questions. Well, if there is a creator, why is there so much suffering in the world? If there is a creator, why is there a devil? Why didn't this creator make everything perfect? These kind of questions are questions that one in the modern day and age that we're living in, we will need to try and attempt to answer these difficult questions. And these are the kind of questions which, you know, as young people we might have, it might cross our minds. Even though ultimately the wisdom of many of these things belong to Allah. We know that the Creator is above our intellect. What my mind can comprehend is limited to what I know, whereas the Creator, His intellect is limitless. Nonetheless, inshallah, in our next episode, we'll start discussing the arguments that atheists make to question Allah's existence. We will address these arguments to the best of our ability, and of course, ultimately we'll say that there is a certain level in which we as humans are limited. There is a limit which humans cannot go beyond. But we turn the question around. if you and I cannot answer every single question an atheist asks with regards to God, we say, well, the logic of that is beyond us. If that is unacceptable to you, then we turn the question around and say, well, if we reject that there is a creator, if we start with the premise that, okay, there is no creator, then how do you explain everything else? Then bring us a better explanation than that of God. And you'd find many times when we debate with an atheist is very good at asking a question, but not very good at answering a question. They can tell you about the gaps in your belief. But you ask him, but now what do you believe? He will say, I believe nothing at all. So while we might have holes in our beliefs which we cannot fully understand or fully explain, he has nothing, no belief, no answer. So this, subhanAllah, is even more illogical and more irrational for us to follow. But we'll go into that discussion, inshallah, in detail, as it is something which is very relevant in the times that we live in. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. Thank you so much. For any questions, concerns, or comments, wismuhammad@gmail.com. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.